Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Kong Hee.
Thank you for joining us for our online service today. I'm so glad to have the opportunity once again to share God's word with you. Let us open up our hearts to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a wonderful time in your presence to praise you and to worship you. Right now, as we study your word, we just pray that faith will come by hearing and hearing by that word of God. We just pray that as we look into the scripture, the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and teach us how to follow Jesus more closely. Teach us how to be like Christ. Teach us to be Jesus-like in every aspect of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray and everyone say, Amen. Over these few weeks, we are learning about following Jesus Christ in His devotion, especially in His love for prayer. Jesus is always praying. We find Him praying at the beginning of His ministry, in the middle of His ministry, and He was praying at the end of His ministry. Even on the cross, Jesus was praying. He literally died praying. His last words were a prayer. After His resurrection, He was praying. Even in heaven today, the Bible says that Jesus lives ever to make intercession for His saints. You see, He was constantly in a prayer mode, and so must we. Jesus often quoted from the book of Psalms because in it lies the secret to prayer, which is meditation. Remember last week, we learned about meditation. We must learn to take a Bible passage like Psalms 91, a very good scripture for this season, as we are going through the virus outbreak, right? It's a very good scripture for us to memorize it and to keep reciting it and praying over it again and again. Well, I gave you a homework this past week. Have you tried memorizing the first half of this psalm? The first 8 verses, Psalms 91, verse 1 to verse 8. Shall we all try together? Okay, let's try. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall on your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. How did you do? Do you get them right? Don't worry if you don't. Just keep meditating. Another very famous psalm is Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, Psalm 119. Most scholars believe that David wrote it for the sole purpose of teaching us that meditation is the secret to inner joy, inner peace, and a life of victory. You know, first of all, meditation kept David pure from sin. David's biggest weakness actually was his struggle with sexual immorality, sexual impurity. If you just have a look at Psalms 119 and verse 9, here he tells us how he found the way to overcome it. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The only way you can hide God's word in your heart to keep it there is through meditation. Very often, our mind, our thoughts, our memories, our feelings, our worries, they don't behave the way we want it to or the way we want them to. Our thoughts, they go to places that we don't want them to go. And then we get angry, we get lustful, we get envious, we get covetous because we have no control over what they think or what they crave for. Now, this lack of control is very evident when we start praying. I mean, you know this very often for a fact in your own life. In 5 to 10 minutes when we start praying, then our mind goes all over the place. What is my next appointment? Well, what should I have for dinner tonight? Should I respond to an earlier email? And sometimes, even suppressed anger and jealousy would surface. And we start remembering how we are offended by others. And in this sense, prayer shows us who we really are in our minds and in our hearts. Outwardly, we project confidence, invincibility, but inwardly, we are filled with frustration and despair. Meditation is powerful because it goes straight into the inner room of our heart and sees very clearly what is inside and tunes it towards the Lord. It converges our thoughts and our feelings on God and aligns them to His. So in verse 11, David says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So through meditation, we build a fortress against temptation. Also, very often, we can get a supernatural release from a bondage, an addiction. But shortly after that, the craving returns. Look, this happens even to the best of us. We get tempted to go back to our former sins, to our former passions. But Bible meditation preserves our deliverance and makes the victory permanent. Something else that meditation helped David. See, meditation saved David from depression. From his youth, David had one crisis after another. If David is living in our time, in our day, he'll be diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. But he overcame his sorrows and his weariness of life through meditation. For example, in verse 27, David says, "Make me understand the way of your precept, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works." So David loves meditation. Now he explains, verse 28, "My soul melts from heaviness." So David was burnt out in life, burnt out. And then he says, "Strengthen me according to your word." Almost one in five people today are struggling with clinical depression. If you ask most people, all they want in life is to be happy. Very simple, right? All they want is just to be happy. But yet, happiness seems to be so elusive. You know, this is because we are looking for so many things in life, and what we are looking for is dependent on external things. People, places we go to, possessions, power, prestige. And for most of us, happiness comes from these external triggers. But such external triggers are totally beyond our control. We can't control how people will treat us. We can't control what they'll say to us, whether they'll be kind to us. We can't control the global economy. We can't control what will happen to our business, our career, say 6 months from now, a year from now. So our happiness doesn't last. It is very unstable. It's always depending on other people, on situations. And when those external triggers are absent, our happiness is absent. Like what the Bible says, we get tossed to and fro by every storm of life. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. So we feel good one day, and then we feel bad. And then we feel good again. And then we feel bad again. The happiness just doesn't last. Because what we depend on is so unreliable. Then living feels exhausting. Living feels frustrating. Sometimes life begins to feel meaningless. But the good news here is this. There is a happiness that is permanent. A happiness that's not dependent on other people or situations or things. The Bible calls it joy. And it comes from the Lord. And it doesn't matter how terrible life is outwardly, because this joy from God gives us an inner peace, an inner strength to keep going on. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. But this heavenly joy comes through meditation. And very often, it only comes through this. As you memorize, recite, and pray through the word, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. And David says this in verse 111, verse 111. David says, Verse 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. That means God's word, it is mine forever. And they are the joy of my heart. Hallelujah. Bible meditation, memorizing, reciting, praying the word of God over and over again. It gives us an inner peace that abides, an inner peace that is permanent, a joy unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. Thirdly, meditation actually preserved David's health. And that's why he loves to meditate. Psalms 119, it says in verse 159, verse 159, consider how I love your precepts, how I love your word. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. You know, the word revive in the Hebrew language here means to repair and to restore. So meditation is applying the medicine of the word to the parts of our bodies that are sick. A few years ago, one of our Harvest Network pastors, Pastor Sammy Bolang, he had alopecia universalis. I always got difficulty pronouncing it. Alopecia universalis. It's an autoimmune disease. And there's no known cure for it. Well, Pastor Sammy lost all his hairs from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And he was in constant pain. He told me he couldn't focus on his work. He could barely minister anymore. And all day long, he was in pain. But every day, he meditated on Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to verse 22. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So, Pastor Sammy, every day, he meditated on it. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So every day he memorized it. Every day he recited it. He prayed using it. Oh, Father, I trust in you. I focus on your promises. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By your word, I am healed. I believe in you. They are life to me and health to all my flesh. The more Pastor Sammy meditated, the more he received the supernatural life of God into his body until he was completely, completely healed. You see, that is the power of meditation. That is the secret of meditation. I have given you three very powerful reasons why meditation is so important in prayer. Number one, it keeps us pure from sin. Number two, it lifts us out of depression. Number three, it brings us healing and good health. But there is another very important reason for meditation, which is my main message today. And this is what I want to share with you today. Meditation brings us into a conversation with God. What does it bring us into? A conversation. A conversation. You see, prayer is a conversation. It is a fellowship. It is communion with God, the creator of the whole universe. We are sharing our hearts with Him and He's sharing His heart with us. The Bible calls this deep calling unto deep. Actually, we sang that earlier in the service. It's deep calling unto deep. It's a two-way thing. Only when there is a conversation is there a full encounter. You see, it's good to sense the presence of God. It's good to encounter His presence, His power. But your encounter enters into its fullest extent when there is a two-way conversation. And this is the real power, the real secret to meditation. It is because of this fellowship. It is because of this communion that Jesus loved to pray. And as he spent time conversing with God, the Heavenly Father told him what he was doing and how Jesus should follow him in his life. Sure, when you read the Bible, there were a few times when God the Father spoke to Jesus with an audible voice from heaven. I believe, I think there are about three times that God spoke from heaven in an audible voice. Or he sent angels to minister to him. I believe twice in the Bible it says that. But 99% of the time, God showed himself to Jesus and taught Jesus and conversed with Jesus through his meditation of the Word. So this is how it works. In his prayer time, Jesus spoke to God using Bible verses, and God spoke back to him using those same scriptures or the scriptures of the same theme. I'll give an example here, right? Now, notwithstanding his miraculous virgin birth, how did Jesus know and was convinced that he knew, that he knew, that he knew that he was the Son of God who was going to be the Savior of the world? Well, in Hebrews chapter 5, it says here in verse 5, therefore, when he, that's Jesus, when he came into the world, he said, so this is Jesus saying, and he was reciting a scripture, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Now, this is a record of Jesus' own meditation taken from Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 to verse 8. So, if you have a Bible and you look at Psalms 40, verse 6 to verse 8, all right, it says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, I want you to compare these two passages right now. Do you see any difference? Is there any difference at all? See, Jesus memorized, recited, and prayed using Psalms chapter 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. So in other words, as Jesus meditated, as he prayed the scripture, Father, open my ears. Father, open my ears. Let me hear you. Show me. What do you want me to do? What is my mission here on earth? You see, Jesus would pray, just like you and I, and we are actually learning from him, and he would pray the scripture, Psalms 40 and verse 6, again and again, Father, open my ears. Father, speak to me. As he meditated, as he meditated, as he recited and prayed, one day the revelation hit him. Boom! His ears were open. God the Father spoke to him out of the same chapter, out of Psalm 40. And then probably cross-referencing to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, the book of Ezekiel. Suddenly Jesus realized, he is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the whole world. And from then on, Jesus knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that he was the Messiah the Bible had prophesied about. The Messiah, the Savior, all the prophets of old have spoken about. He was the one. And this is how the book of Hebrews in the New Testament now records. So you look at verse 5 now. Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I, so Jesus is now personalizing his confession. And I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of book, it is written of me. So Jesus is totally convinced. As he read through the scripture, as he meditated on the word Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, Exodus. As he looked into the scripture, he says, Lord, I know. I know that I know. I have come to do your will, O God. And this is also why one of Jesus' favorite prayer is, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. You see, that whole prayer is a revelation out of Psalms 40. Jesus received understanding from his time of prayer, when he had a conversation, a two-way conversation with his Heavenly Father. And as followers of Jesus Christ, it must be the same for us. We hear God's voice through meditation, and we enter into a conversation with Him. Let me give you another example, okay? Another example here. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shares very fresh but very deep understanding of the moral purity, the righteousness, the life of godliness that God wants of His children. So how did Jesus know? I mean, really, He was taking the whole teaching of the Ten Commandments to a whole new level. But who taught Him all this? First of all, He must have meditated a lot on the Ten Commandments. So obviously, there's nothing wrong to study the Ten Commandments. Jesus actually memorized it. In fact, Martin Luther, the leader of the Protestant Reformation, he meditated on the Ten Commandments almost daily. And I love the Ten Commandments because it was given by God to show us a life that is righteous, a life that is pleasing before Him. Now, think about it. For most people, you shall not murder is exactly that. Don't kill. Don't murder, right? But as Jesus meditated on it, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. God talked to Him about it. He entered into a conversation. Not murdering means we shouldn't even be resentful of our neighbors. Matthew 5, verse 21 to verse 22. So to God, murder is not just the act itself. It's not just killing. But the attitude, the anger in our minds, in our hearts. Take another example. For most people, you shall not commit adultery is exactly just that. Don't commit adultery. But as Jesus meditated on it, day and night, night and day, meditating on this commandment, God taught Him that we shouldn't even lust in our minds, in our hearts, after someone else. That's Matthew 5, verse 27 to verse 28. Because to God, adultery is not just the act itself, it is the immoral passion and desire in us. How did Jesus learn all these things? It was only when He meditated on the Word that God, the Heavenly Father, explained it all to Him, showing Him what to do, what to say, how to live. And that is why Jesus could say this, "As my Father taught me, I speak these things." John chapter 8, verse 28, John chapter 12, verse 49. See, Jesus learned so much from His Heavenly Father when He had conversations with God during His prayer time. And similarly for you and I. As we meditate on the Word of God, as we meditate on the Scripture in God's presence, He will converse with us in and through those same words. The Holy Spirit, oh, the Spirit of the living God, He's our teacher. He will open up the Scripture and apply it to us and enable us to understand what God is saying. I want to give you a personal example. You know, for the past 2.5 years, I wanted to pray for you, the church. I want to pray for all you members, for you guys who are watching right now. Why? Because I love you. I'm your pastor. It's my job. So I meditated regularly on Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to verse 19. 16, 17, 18, 19. Just four verses. It's really a prayer of Paul for the Ephesian believers. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So almost every day, I pray for our members. I pray for you guys to be spiritually strong in your inner man, on your inside, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Now, wait a minute. Paul's praying for the Ephesian church, right? But they were already Christians. Jesus was already dwelling in their hearts. They were already united with Christ, living in Christ. So why would Paul be praying that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith? You see, there's so much about Jesus they have yet to experience. It's one thing to know Jesus in principle. It's another thing to know Him in experience. Yeah? So the Ephesian Christians, they knew Him in principle, but not in experience. So Paul would pray for them that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So they already had a general awareness of God's love. But Paul prayed that now they may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now, this word, comprehend, is a very big word. Paul is praying that the Holy Spirit will give them and give us the power to grasp. So we must meditate and meditate. We must recall, recite, and pray through until we get, bam, a breakthrough. Until the revelation hits us, grips us, and we could comprehend. Comprehend what? What is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. So for 2.5 years, I often meditated and prayed these four verses, just four verses. At first, it seems like a lot of words. I mean, you look at it, right? It's a lot of words. And then one day, it suddenly hit me. One day, I suddenly, my eyes of understanding were open and I could comprehend. And I heard God's voice, our Heavenly Father, speaking to me very clearly in my mind and in my heart. Now, remember, I was in a very difficult season in my life. I was living in a very, very dry season, if you like. And God, our Heavenly Father, He spoke to me, Kong, you must know how much my Son Jesus loves you. You must know how much Jesus Christ loves you. So I begin to enter into this conversation. God is now speaking to me. The width of Jesus' love, how much He forgives us and embraces us, how much Jesus actually is merciful to us. That is the width of His love. And then the length of His love, how faithful Jesus is to us, how patient He is to us. He's so forbearing. There is no end to His patience for us. Why is Jesus' love so wide and so long? Because it is infinitely deep, the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. How deeply He feels for you and me. Jesus weeps when we weep. Jesus rejoices when we are glad. Then we talk about the height of His love. His love is so high, so far out. Literally, it is out of this world. The love of Jesus Christ is totally unlike the human love of this that we have in the world. Human love is so selfish. It's so conditional. But Jesus' love for us is unselfish. It's unconditional. Oh, I tell you, I was so amazed and so overwhelmed as I meditated, as I pondered about the love of Jesus, the width of His love, the length of His love, the depth of His love, the height of His love. And the amazing thing is this, the more I focused on the love of Jesus Christ, the more I wanted to live in a constant atmosphere of forgiveness. I wanted to be like Jesus Christ. I want my love in this world to be as wide, to be as long, as deep, as tall, as high. I soon noticed that most of my anger and frustration started to fizzle away. I began to have a desire to be faithful, to want to be faithful, to keep my words and my promises that I've made. I wanted to be kind. I have a desire to want to be gentle. And those of you that have known Pastor all these 30 years, well, in the past, gentleness is not one of my strengths. You know, I was a visionary, I was a choleric, a type A personality. But suddenly, in the last 2.5 years, as I meditated on this, I suddenly felt I need to be kinder. I need to be gentler. And I find myself becoming more gentle and more loving and patient towards other people. All I could say is this, only by God's grace, only by His grace, the love of Jesus really melted my heart. There's an even bigger revelation that God has reserved for me as we read on. You see, the revelation is this, I will never know the love of God until I could fully grasp the love of Jesus for me. And until then, I will never be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, God's work in my life, God's work through my life will hit a ceiling, will hit a ceiling. You know, whatever I experience in my preaching, in my praying for the sick, casting out demons, working signs and wonders, in my leadership, it will hit a ceiling because I'm filled with the Spirit, but I will never come into all the fullness of God until I understand and comprehend and have a grasp of the love of Jesus Christ. Right there and then, inside a very tough environment, I sense myself growing in the fullness of God each day as I enjoy the love of Jesus more and more, His width, of the width of His love, the length of His love, the depth of His love, the height of His love. Wonderful Jesus. I tell you, even as I share this right now, you know, I can sense the love of God bubbling out of my spirit. Hallelujah. Out of this scripture, God said to me, Kong, this is how you must pray for the members, that they too will grasp, will comprehend just how much Jesus loves them. That day too, City Harvest Church, you guys who are watching, that you too will be filled with all the fullness of God. So this was how I prayed for you for 2.5 years. Every day, almost every day, I prayed that the love of Jesus will melt your heart, that you too will walk in a constant atmosphere of forgiveness. Your love will be all-embracing. That you will walk in a constant atmosphere of faithfulness. That your long-suffering, your forbearance for people in your family, for other members of the church, for your neighbor, will have no end like Jesus. That there'll be genuine kindness and love flowing out of you. That this spiritual family will really be filled with all the fullness of God, not just in theory, but in actual experience. You see, meditation turns theology into experience. It turns theology into practical experience that we can live out of every single day. As we attend to His words, incline our ear to His sayings, as we do not let them depart from our eyes and keep them in the midst of our heart, we will hear His voice. God starts conversing. This is what we are talking about, conversation. This is how you enter into a conversation. God starts conversing with us through His Word. And what will God tell us? God, through His Word, will talk to us about we ourselves. I learned so much as I spent time in prayer. God spoke to me and God told me, Kong, this is you. And God showed me my strength. He showed me my weakness. And He showed me how He wanted me to change. And still every day, we are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And through the Word, God starts showing you and talking to you about the people around you. Gives you understanding about the people around you, the situation you are in. Let me give you one last example. You know, for 2.5 years, I needed to know how to pray for son, for my wife. But during that season, our communication was very limited. We have very limited opportunity to really talk. I needed God to tell me how to pray for her, how to properly pray in the midst of the challenges that she's facing herself. So I first started by praying Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 19. I prayed that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon her. the Spirit of the Lord that is upon Jesus, let it come upon Son. Then I pray that her faith proclamation, through her speaking, through her preaching of the gospel, prison doors will be open, right? Jesus has taught us that whosoever speaks to this mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So I pray the same thing for Son. I say that when she makes faith proclamation, it's going to happen. Prison doors will open. That she will move in healing and miracles to make the blind to see, to heal the broken hearts, that her counseling will be so anointed that as she spends time counseling people, that hearts will be healed. And then to set the captives free, that means she will move powerfully in deliverance ministry. So I prayed like this for her. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, 19. For many days, for many weeks, for many months. Then a while later, God reminded me in my mind, in my heart. So he started speaking to me now. Hey, Kong, it's wonderful to pray for the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. But there are seven anointings of the Holy Spirit. And instantly that day when God spoke to me, I was reminded by the Spirit, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. So in Isaiah 11, here are the seven anointings that were upon Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, verse 2. So God said to me, Kong, you only pray for one anointing for Son. The first one, that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon her. Now you need to pray for her to experience all the rest, because that's exactly what she needed at that point in time. So every day for a season, I started praying. Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. And then I'll go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Oh God, let her be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And then let the Spirit of wisdom and understanding be upon Son. Let the Spirit of counsel and might be upon her. Let the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord come upon her. Lord, let the Spirit of the Lord come upon her. Lord, let the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Let the Spirit of counsel and might. Let the anointing of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So I was praying. I was praying. I was just praying. Just praying the Scripture. Praying the Scripture. Now, the first anointing is very obvious. The Spirit of the Lord, we already have seen that in Luke chapter 4. It's the power of faith, power to proclaim the Scripture, power to open prison doors. It's the power for healing, to open blind eyes. It's the power to set captives free, to cast out demons, the power of deliverance. So that's the first one. Then as I prayed, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, oh God, let it come upon her. I knew I'm praying the Scripture. But then one day, God started to converse with me and God said, my Heavenly Father said to me, say, Kong, pray for spiritual intelligence. Wow, I never heard this phrase, spiritual intelligence, before. I never heard anyone mention this word. You need to have spiritual intelligence. So when this word came to me as I prayed, spirit of wisdom, understanding, boom, that's what she needed. Spiritual intelligence. I started praying, God, cause Son to be smart. Cause her to be wise. Let her have understanding of every situation she's in. Give her spiritual intelligence. Ooh, I felt there's power in that prayer. And God was going to answer that prayer. And then the next pair, the Spirit of counsel and might. And then the Father said to me, Son needs to be a mighty woman. Pray that she has ministry skills. Wow. Suddenly it all makes sense, right? You know, David had mighty men and men of might, warriors of might. That means they are very skillful. They are very capable. So I pray, God, make Son capable in my absence. Let her have ministry skills when she is on the stage. Let her be able to do the things you wanted her to do. Let her be skillful. And then let her have the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. Now, what is that? Spirit of knowledge. That means let her know. Let her know what's happening. Let her know how to take the church to the next level. And give her the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord means a reverence of God. The fear of the Lord also means revival, the spirit of revival. But the fear of the Lord also means you never do anything that would displease God. So I started praying, Lord, give sons knowledge. Let her be able to see very clearly in the things of the Spirit. And let her never do anything in the church, for the church, that would displease you. And then suddenly, God said to me, that's right, Kong, pray for leadership ability. That's right. In the church, she's in the SMT, together with Pastor Aris, Pastor Bobby, and she serves in the together with the very important board members, with other senior staff, and with pastors in the city. I said, Lord, please help my wife to have leadership ability. And I knew that God was telling me very directly how He wanted me to pray for Sun. See, Sun didn't write all these things to me, but the Holy Spirit was telling me as I prayed the scripture, as God entered in a conversation with me. A while later, I started receiving letters from many staff and from many members of the church telling me how much they enjoyed working together with Sun. She was helping them solve many problems. So Sun was becoming a problem solver. Spiritual intelligence. I began to rejoice and thank God. God, you're answering the prayers you wanted me to pray to you. Spiritual intelligence. She's having it. And then they wrote to me. They were enjoying her preaching and prophetic ministry. That Sun was prophesying. That her preaching was getting stronger and touching many hearts. Ministry skills. The spirit of counsel and might was coming upon her. And then they wrote to me that they were so glad to work with her, to work together with her and to work under her. And that is leadership ability. I wasn't surprised because God had a conversation with me and God knew all things. He knew exactly what my family needed. He knew exactly what my wife needed. He knew exactly what the church needed. And you know what? When you pray the scripture, the beautiful thing here is this. It will never get mystical or flaky. You know, we hear a lot of flaky prophecies out there. Of course, we don't despise them. But when you stick on to the Word of God, it will never get mystical. It will never get flaky. Because you always stay within the safety of the boundary of God's Word. It would be based on His Word. And I have countless conversations like this in my daily prayer. When God taught me about myself, God taught me about people and situations, and He taught me about life and ministry. And this is how meditation makes prayer so enjoyable. I enjoy all the time when I could pray. I wake up at 5 a.m. to pray. I would pray sometime in the afternoon, and then I would pray another hour before I sleep. And all day long, I try to be in a prayer mode because I'm enjoying it. Because I'm not only praying powerful prayers out of the scripture, not because I'm powerful, but the Word of God is powerful. The Word is already anointed. And then I hear God speaking to me through the same Word. And I will never get too far off. I will never be off, actually, because it's from the Word. So this is how we can pray all day long and pray for a very long time, because prayer becomes a conversation. Prayer must be a conversation. Prayer must be a fellowship, a communion. If prayer is just going through our list of needs, I mean, it's good to have prayer needs, you know, prayer prompters. But if that's all we have, then it's just going to be a one-way thing. You're just telling God, you're giving to God your shopping list. Sooner or later, it will feel dry. Sooner or later, you'll feel like work. It'll feel like a chore. You'll feel tiring. But when prayer is a dynamic conversation, God and us sharing heart to heart, God and us having fellowship together, then prayer is exciting. Then prayer is enjoyable. Remember what I told you last week. Prayer is 90% meditation. And because it is meditation, prayer must also be 90% conversation. God and us sharing heart to heart. Deep, calling unto the deep. And this is all the time we have for this service today. Next week, I will finish up on the prayer life of Jesus, on three other important things Jesus taught on prayer. Now, for homework, as a church, can we memorize the second half of Psalms 91 from verse 9 to verse 16? Last week, you memorized the first half of it. This week, the second half. 8 verses from verse 9 to verse 16. You know, I mean, let's just try. I'm going to try. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No plague shall come near you. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. Hallelujah. I'm trying to remember right now. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon lions and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love on him, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. See, I've memorized Psalms 91 so very often, but sometimes, you know, even when I meditate, I will forget. But that's okay. That's okay. We keep on praying, we keep on meditating, reciting, and then you'll hear God speaking to us, speaking to you. Before we pray and end the service, shall we take some time to worship God together? Let's invite Ellie back together and with the rest of the singers and musicians, let's just worship God right now. Hallelujah. Let's all sing together. Lift up your hands and your hearts.
All my life you have been faithful.
So faithful, Lord.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing it one more time. All my life. Hallelujah. You know, this past week, many people have come to me and different ones have approached me and expressing that they're going through a very difficult time in their business, in their work, because of this COVID-19 virus outbreak. And when I talked to them, I realized perhaps one of the things that we need the most right now is divine wisdom, spiritual intelligence. We are talking about spiritual intelligence. We need creative strategies. God, how are we going to navigate through this crisis that is affecting our financial positions and our jobs and our careers? So if you are in that situation, I believe there's an anointing that's going to come upon you. I believe the Word of God, that spirit of wisdom and understanding, spiritual intelligence will come upon you. I believe in the marketplace, spiritual, the ministry, not ministry skills, but practical skills business skills. It's going to come upon you. The spirit of counsel and might. And then the spirit of knowledge and of fear of God. Leadership ability. You could be an executive. You could be a manager. You could be a director of a company. Or you could just be a worker in a department. But God is going to give you leadership ability. I'm believing that for you. I'm going to pray. And if you're in a situation where you need spiritual intelligence, why don't you just stretch your hands towards the screen? There's no distance in prayer. There's no distance in the Spirit. And I want you to release your faith. I want you to open your mouth and pray in the Spirit right now. And I'm going to join my faith together with you. For the place of agreement is a place of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that right here, right now, as my friends, my brothers, and my sisters are watching in their living room or in their office, or they are in a bus or in an MRT train, or they are walking on the street, as they are listening to this service, tuning in, I pray for an encounter with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for spiritual intelligence. The anointing of the spirit of wisdom and understanding will come upon them. I pray for business skills, professional skills to increase many, many fold because the spirit of counsel and might is coming upon them. I pray for leadership ability because they have this supernatural spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. They will know exactly what to do in such a way they will never displease you. And when we seek to glorify you, we'll always do the right thing. We'll always do the wisest thing. So I pray right now, anoint them. I pray for breakthrough. I pray this God whom we worship will bless our food and our water. This God whom we worship and give thanks to right now will bless our job and bless our career. I pray that the finances will come, the resources will come, the blessings will come. In the mighty name of Jesus, don't be afraid. My brother, my sister, don't be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has not given you a spirit of anxiety. God is blessing you with a sound mind, spiritual intelligence. God has given you a spirit of love and power. You are powerful in God. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit has anointed you. Father, I pray right now. I just pray, let there be an impartation. I pray for a supernatural impartation. Lord, for years and years, I prayed for my church. I prayed for my members. I prayed for this brother, this sister who is watching right now. I pray right now that through the screen, there may be an impartation of the anointing of God. Receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Spirit of fear, go in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just pray right now, you pour the grace, you pour the spiritual intelligence, that supernatural wisdom, that divine gift into those that are watching right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, no more fear, but the spirit of faith will come upon us in Jesus' name. I just felt it. I sense it. Some of you right now, when you received that prayer, I could sense some of you were shaking. You literally were shaking on the inside because you received an impartation. Don't entertain the spirit of fear. God is for you. In this, we remain confident, Psalms 27, that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In this lifetime, you'll see the goodness of God.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.